God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. Glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like the blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. So glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Oh, we're washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, oh, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. So glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Let's sing it again together. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. God bless you richly this evening. Good to be in service again together. Good to have Brother Yarbrough back with us. He's been, I thought about introducing him as a visitor tonight. He's been gone so long, but he was on vacation out west for a few weeks, and we sure missed him, but good to have him back with us. And good to have Brother Morris in the service with us tonight. He's got three brothers from Ghana with him, Brother Paul Kofi, Brother Philip, Brother Ben Pong, and his wife. Good to have them with us this evening as well. Brother Morris, if you just make your way up here, I'm going to have you pray over the requests. And I want to remember Brother Jeremy Bird in prayer. He's traveling for work this week. And Sister Patty Arch, she's not feeling well this evening. I want to remember her in prayer. She's been on dialysis again for a while, and just praying that the Lord will come on the scene in a special way there. They're trying to find her another kidney, and we know that God's definitely able to move on the scene in that situation. And the Hawansky family, they're all sick with colds tonight. I want to remember them in prayer. And then a special unspoken prayer request for Brother Aaron and Sister Sarah Peister. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to lift to the Lord in prayer? If you just raise your hands. Amen. Now the Lord sees each one. God bless you, Brother Morris.
Oh, in your word, it tells us that for two or three gathered together in my name, there I'll be in their midst. And Lord, Brother Branham expressed to us how the angel of the Lord, the pillar of fire, is always present among believers. And God, we believe that tonight. We just pray, Father, for every request and the spoken, Lord, and unspoken. Gracious God, tonight that your quickening power and your presence would be real to that individual and that need. Lord God, we pray. Pray that you bless this congregation, the people here. And may we all grow in the admonition and stature of Jesus Christ. Father, may we be more like you and less like us. May you get glory out of our lives, Lord Jesus, and may we be a blessing to lead someone to the truth, Lord, for this hour, gracious God. We're so thankful. We're so blessed tonight, Lord Jesus, that you brought us out and showed us the way. We're thankful, Lord, that for people in other lands as well, in other countries, Lord, that makes up the bride of Jesus Christ in this day. Brother Ben saw that bride coming walking from all nations. We thank you for that tonight, to know, Lord, that there's a universal rapture for the bride of Jesus Christ. We pray you'll bless each one tonight. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless the hearing of your word tonight. May it prosper, Lord, and may you get glory to your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this evening. And for you brothers, Brother Paul and Brother Philip and Brother Ben Pong, would you just come up here just a moment so I can introduce you to the people? I've got something that we want to give you from the church. I wanted the church to be a part of this. And Brother Paul had contacted me and said that he needed a laptop for his ministry work there in Ghana. You brothers just come right on up on the platform if you don't mind. And he had just asked for a used laptop. And but we went to Best Buy and got him a new HP laptop that I think will be a blessing to you. God bless you, Brother Paul. Good to have you with us. Amen. Brother Philip, good to have you with us. God bless you. Brother Ben Pong, God bless you, my friend. Good to see you again. And then I asked him if they needed any of the SD cards that have the message on them. And they, Brother Paul had said that all three of them would like to take some of those back to their churches. So we went and got 21 of those. So there's 7 for you, Brother Paul, and 7 for you, Brother Philip, 7 for you. And I was telling Sister Donna there at Voice of God a few years ago to fund them all 21 tape libraries. You'd been talking $7,000 each plus shipping, which would have been more than that to ship all those tapes. But thank God that technology has got to a place to where we can do something like that for you brothers. Brother Paul, God bless you. I know you use it for the glory of God. Good to have you brothers with us. Amen. God bless you. Good to have you with us this evening. Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Saw a band of angels coming after me. They were coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet home, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, oh, coming for to carry me home. Friend, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Oh, tell all my friends I'm coming to, oh, coming for to carry me home. Sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, sometimes up and sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. Oh, but still my feet are heaven bound. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet Lord. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet Lord. Coming for to carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to, coming for to carry me home. Oh, just worship him tonight. Carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. And I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by.
we're gonna walk together, my Lord and I. I'm gonna stand for Jesus. Oh, whatever comes, whatever goes, still this ride is gonna stand for Jesus. We'll let the world go by. Oh, I'll claim His promise. He will supply. We'll walk together, my Lord and I. I want to stand for Jesus. Oh, let's stand and sing it again together. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus and let this world go by. I'll claim His promise. Lord, I know You will supply. We'll walk together, my Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. One more time together. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. Oh, I'll claim His promise. He will supply.
Bless you again this evening. Good to see you made it, Brother Furman. We missed you. I almost forgot how to lead songs. I've been leaning on him so much. So we certainly appreciate all that he's been doing to help out with leading the songs. And he got stuck on a case at the hospital and couldn't make it quite in time tonight. So I scrambled around and found something to sing. So I hope it was a blessing anyway. But we're going to look again tonight at this series we've been on, For Such a Time as This. And this will be the seventh part that we've picked up. And we're going to look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 11 to begin with. And it reads, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days." Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us. Lord, may you just be welcome in this service. Lord, every word that's spoken, every song that's sang, Lord, I just ask that you would be magnified through it all. Lord, help me just to get myself out of the way for a while to speak to your children. Lord, thank you for our brothers that have traveled so far, Lord, to be here in fellowship with us. And Lord, may you just bless them in their travels as they continue on and on their way back home. Lord, bless them as they go back to their churches, Lord. And Lord, may the little efforts that we've put forth, may it be a blessing, Lord, as they take these back to the churches there. Lord, may the people just grow closer to you and know more about you, Lord, through these small efforts of ours, we pray. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with, Lord, we know that the quotes and the scriptures are anointed, but Lord, I ask that you'd anoint me tonight to speak, Father, and just anoint your people that they would have hearts to receive and ears to hear, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I forgot to mention it earlier, but Brother Joshua had told me he came up for prayer on Sunday, and his hand had really been bothering him, causing him some pain and things. And I told him, I said, that's just the enemy trying to attack you because of his gift playing the piano for us. And we had a word of prayer, and he said it hasn't bothered him at all. So praise the Lord. It's completely whole. So God's good. We've been looking at this for a few weeks, and I just thought it would be a good time to recap just a little bit before we move forward here in the service tonight, and want to look over some things that we looked at in the previous lessons. And one of the things that we've looked at is that this book of Esther is the only book in the Bible where the word God is never mentioned in. The word God, the word Jehovah, the word Jesus, Elohim, Adonai, none of these words are ever used in the book of Esther. It's the only book in the Bible that it doesn't mention God, but yet even though God isn't mentioned directly, yet we're able to see God, we're able to see his attributes, we're able to see types of God in this book, and we're able to see his hand, even though invisible, in the background, moving and orchestrating and coordinating things. Many times it's the same way in our life, that maybe we don't see the skies open up and maybe some great supernatural thing, but yet we can see God, his hand moving in our life and leading us and guiding us and confirming things in our lives. And another thing we looked at is that there were seven chamberlains in the days of King Ahasuerus, and he sent these seven men. They were seven messengers sent to call his bride, but yet his bride refused to hear the warning that he was sending. And in that day, it was a Gentile bride that he was calling to, but she rejected to come to this calling of the messenger. So he turned instead and chose a Jewish bride, King Ahasuerus did, being a type of Christ. But in our day, it was a Jewish bride that God was trying to call. Remember, God dealt with Israel as a people, but he deals with us as an individual. He dealt with them as a nation, and he was trying to call them, but they rejected him when he came, and he turned from the Jewish church and he picked a Gentile bride. We find that when King Ahasuerus went to pick Esther, it wasn't because of any works that she had done, any great thing that she had done above and beyond the others. It wasn't because she was prettier or because she had more works or because she dressed a certain way different than the other women did or whatever it would be. But the king chose her because he was delighted in her and he called her by name. So I think when we look at our own lives, it's not that we had better works than the Catholic or the Baptist or the Methodist or anybody else. It's not that that we were prettier than everybody else, at least not in my case. I don't know how you feel about it, but it wasn't because we were richer than everybody else. It wasn't because we were more popular than everybody else. It wasn't because we were mentally, intellectually smarter than everybody else, or it wasn't because we were some great something, but it was because that God delighted in us and he called us by name. We also looked at how that Haman was an Agagite, which was a descendant of King Agag, an Amalekite. And because that Saul hadn't completely wiped out the Amalekites like he should have in Saul's day, when the man came running to tell David what had happened there, he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a stranger, the son of an Amalekite." And the very thing that Saul was supposed to destroy wound up destroying him. And then now, many years later, this very descendant of the same man that he was supposed to kill there, he's going about and trying to destroy all of the Jews now, not just in Shushan the palace, but in all of the provinces that King Ahasuerus was over, which the Persian Empire was over a big portion of the world at that time. They wanted to wipe out all the Jews. That spirit wasn't just in the days of King Ahasuerus. It was also in the days of Moses. They were trying to kill the Jews. They were trying to attack through the little children in that day. In the Roman Empire, they were trying to kill him. Hitler and Eichmann tried to kill him, and there's going to be a move again in the last day in the Battle of Armageddon when all the nations of the world have turned against her again. But there's one thing that separates them from all these other nations that are constantly wanting to fight her, is that God fights for her. I'm proud to be on Israel's side. And Haman, when he goes to pick the date of when to choose to have this slaughter of the Jews, he begins to cast lots to choose the date, because he's trying to pick a date that's in his favor, that would be favorable to him instead of to the Jews. But even as he's casting lots, God in his providence is picking a date that'll give them enough time for Esther to come on the scene and do something about this. Even though Esther will find in a moment she didn't feel worthy to do anything about it, she didn't feel like she had the power or the intellect or any ability to do anything about it, yet through it all, God had chose her and placed her for this time and for this place in history so that he could do something through her. We found that the king Ahasuerus had even given Haman his ring, and he had extended his seal to Haman to go and stamp and make this law. And we found out that this law was a Persian law, that it couldn't be changed. We find that several times in the book of Daniel, that the law of the Medes and Persians, it couldn't change. It changed not. And so King Ahasuerus gives Haman this ring, and he tells him to go in and take the ring and to stamp it on the letter and to send it out to all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to make this decree that on a certain date the Jews would be killed. Now, once this law is made, he can never change the law, but what he can do is he can come and he can make an atonement for the law. Remember in the days of Daniel, the king there, Darius, he had made a law that anybody that prayed to any other gods would be cast in the lion's den. But when he does this and he goes to cast Daniel in there, Daniel, he didn't just bow down and say, well, just because they're going to allow transvestite bathrooms, we're just going to bow down to it. But no, he opened up his window and he prayed three times a day and he said, oh, great Jehovah Elohim, here I am again to worship you. And he began to worship God in spirit and in truth. And they looked and they said, there he is, that old holy roller. He's doing exactly 100% against what the law says. You know, I don't want to be a criminal. I don't want to do anything contrary to the law. But when man's laws conflict with God's laws, I'll stick with God's law. And it may get to that case, Brother Hoover, to where some of the things we preach and teach about homosexuality and all these different things and good, clean, holiness living, they think that's a hate crime today, and they want to put brothers in prison for it, but that's okay. As I heard Brother Branham say on tape the other day, he said when the income tax man came, you know, and they began to prosecute him and it went to court, they began to ask him all kinds of questions. He said, well, I had some brothers that were in prison, and they said, oh, you do? What were their names? And they were going to take you down. He said, oh, yes, they were in federal prison. He said one was by the name of Paul. He was put in prison, in Roman prison. And he said there was another one by the name of John. He was in Alcatraz on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, they were my brothers. Yet they were persecuted and put in federal prisons. So it may go that way again. But I think before it gets too bad, we're going to take a flight out of here. Amen. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, the Bible says. And so this law couldn't be changed. So Darius has to take Daniel and put him in a lion's den. But yet he stays up all night. He was worried more about it, I think, than Daniel was. And he paced the floors back and forth. But Daniel happened to have something supernatural come to place. And there was a pillar of fire that we've had scientifically vindicated and proved in our day that came down and stood between him and the lions. And there's something about lions, they don't like fire very much. Sadly, there's a lot of people around the message today. They don't like much Holy Ghost and fire. But Brother Bram said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. They say, oh, you shouldn't have a religion that's emotional. He said, if your religion hasn't got any emotion, you better bury it because it's dead. So it's all right to have emotion, but we don't emphasize and major on emotion and say that that's the proof of the Holy Ghost, because there's many that had emotions. There's many that spoke in tongues and ran the aisles and shouted that didn't have it. But he also said there was many of them that did have it. So we find that he gave Haman his ring. He says, go and seal this letter. And we find out, you think, how could that be a type of God going and giving his seal of approval to do something to the devil? But God does that many, many times in our lives, because remember, Satan can't do anything to us without God giving him permission. Brother Branham said, he can't take you until God's finished with you. So even though it looks bad sometimes, even though the trials look rough and all these different things, yet God isn't going to allow Satan to do anything to you until he's ready for Satan to do something to you. He told him about Job. He said, do whatever you want to him, just don't take his life. But Satan had to wait there for permission before he could do anything. Here was Haman wanting to go do this to the Jews, but he couldn't do anything without permission to go and do it. Brother Branham looked down and he looks back and he sees the persecution of the Jews in the days of Eichmann and Hitler and all the terrible things that went on. He said it was the gentle hand of Jehovah getting them back in their homeland. This Persian law couldn't be changed, but Daniel's down there, and the next day, King Darius comes out. He said, oh, Daniel, was your God able to save you? He said, oh, King, live forever. He was able to deliver me from the mouth of the lion's den. But it happened, those men that had tried to pull this on him, they didn't serve the same God that he did. And when they threw them in the fire, the people that was criticizing and making fun of him, the lions didn't see any vindication there. They didn't see any pillar of fire there, nothing to hold them back, nothing to prevent them, and they had supper. I'll follow the vindicated ones, not the ones that run their mouth unvindicated. And so this law could not be changed that King Ahasuerus had made through the request of Haman, but yet he could come and he could make an amendment to it, or he could make he could come and make an atonement for it, just as God's law said that the day that thou eat, the day that thou shalt die, but he came and made an atonement for us. Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Remember, she's just sent back to him, and she said, "Now, you know, unless the king commands for me to come, whether it be man or woman or whatever it be, and he doesn't command for you to come, then if you go into his presence and he doesn't hold out his scepter to you, then it's certainly just a commandment of death." And she said, "He hasn't called for me these 30 days, but he said, don't think that you're going to be spared." Verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Remember, Paul said, he said, what if some didn't believe? He said, would unbelief hinder God? He said, God forbid. So it's not so much you see, oh my, there's unbelievers out here and make believers out there and criticizers and all these. That's not going to stop the plan of God. Amen. And even if you, as the bride of Jesus Christ, it's not going to change your election. It's not going to change your predestination. But if you decide, well, I'm just going to sit down and quit, God will get a hold of you somewhere, or he'll take you off the scene early and take you to an early grave if you get out of his will. But that's not going to stop the plan of God. He'll raise somebody else up. Remember, Jesus said they came in there into the city, and there he was riding on a colt, and my, the people began to scream, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they were worshiping and praising and just having a good old Pentecostal revival. And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, goodness, now you're getting a little too carried away here in this service. Don't you think you could get your people just to calm down a little bit? I mean, well, you know, we believe in church order, and we believe that you should say amen a certain way, and that you should stand up at a certain time and sit down at a certain time, and that you shouldn't raise your voice over this many decibels, and that, you know, you shouldn't say anything, hallelujah or glory or anything that's going to distract the preacher while he's up there. And he said, listen, I can tell them to stop, but if they stop, these rocks are going to cry out instead. So which would you prefer? I don't want no rock taking my place tonight. Amen. No, let me do my part, Lord. He said, if you hold that peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You say, oh, Brother Nathan, look around at what's taking place. There's distress, and there's people leaving the message, and there's people making fun of the message, and it's even on the news, and it's on websites, and it's everywhere you turn. And oh my, they're talking about making these laws that they're going to start putting people in prison. They're going to do all kinds of things. Brother Bram told us back in the 50s, get ready for cold weather. They were talking about sending them all to Alaska then. At least we'd be in one place in one accord if the squeeze came a little bit. Right now we're so divided you can't hardly shake somebody's hand without them asking, now, where do you go to church and what do you believe? And are you side with this brother or that brother? And what's your favorite flavor of drink? And what's your preference over here? And which mold of message Jell-O do you fit into before they want to shake your hand? But when the squeeze begins to come and you say, I believe God sent a prophet, they'll say, God bless you, brother. It's good to know there's other brothers and sisters still with us. He said, how do you know whether you haven't been raised up for such a time and a place as this? Many people, they begin to feel so inadequate. Oh, I'm just a housewife, or oh, I'm just a farmer. Oh, I'm just a humble this or a humble that. No doubt that's how Noah felt. When he was out there, Brother Bram said he was just a farmer. And God spoke to him, said, build a boat. He wasn't a boat builder. He wasn't a carpenter. He was a farmer. And God said, you go build a boat that's going to withstand the greatest destruction that the world's ever seen. And he begins to go out there. He said, Lord, I'm not a carpenter. I don't know nothing about boats. He didn't have no need for boats. The earth was just irrigated with water that ran underneath it to provide springs and things like that. He said, Lord, I don't know nothing about boats. I don't know nothing about the shape or the size. He said, don't worry about that. I've already got it all worked out. I'll just tell you what to do. And he felt so inadequate. But that's how many of us feel sometimes when God calls us to do something. Oh, but I'm just a housewife, or I'm just a Sunday school teacher, or I'm just a member of the laity that's an electrician or a carpenter or something. I'm so unworthy, and I just don't feel like there's anything for me to do. God raised you up for such a time as this. He didn't place you here just to fill a pew or just to be somebody that could raise a flag and say, I believe God sent a prophet. But he placed you here for this time and for this place to do something. Now, you may not be the prophet. You may not be the pastor. You may not be the song leader. You may not have a position that people would say, oh, this brother so-and-so in this church, and he's a deacon, he's a trustee, he's this, he's that. You may not have a title or a position or something like that, but you have a position in the body of Jesus Christ. And it may be just to witness to somebody that you run into on the job, or just to tell somebody here that you run into at Walmart or Meijer or Kroger or wherever you shop, of what God's did for you in your life, and how that God's healed you, and how he's saved you, and how he's called you from a life of sin to show you that there's something better. Don't sit there and think that there's not something for you to do. I heard Brother Branham say on a tape today, he said, don't put it all on the pastor and the deacons and the trustees. He said, they've got their part to do, but he said, you've got your part to do too. Our hope is in God, 1951. He says, let the spirit that was upon your son, Christ Jesus, come down upon this poor, unworthy vessel. He said, unworthy is right, Lord. But if you were looking for holy hands tonight, where would you find them? We've all sinned and come short of the glory. Oh, my. You say, I'm so unworthy tonight, Brother Nathan. I don't even feel worthy to sit in this service. I don't feel worthy to pray for somebody. I don't feel worthy to baptize somebody or try to be an encouragement to somebody. If we were looking for holy hands tonight, where would we go to? If you were looking for holy hands tonight, who would you call? All have sinned and come short of the glory. Amen. When us brothers come up here and lay hands on people, us ministers, brothers, we don't say, now we're going to roll up our sleeves and lay these holy hands on them. No, it's not our holy hands. It's him using our hands, because he has no hands but our hands, no lips but our lips, no feet but our feet. Brother Bram said this, you know. It's God using the body of Jesus Christ. But I don't glorify Brother Layton and say, oh, God bless you, let me shake your holy hands tonight. No, it's not this. It's never been this. It wasn't, we don't worship Brother Branham or lift him up to the point of Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. He said it was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. It was God using a man that was a humble Kentuckian, but that God could use him in such a way till he could yield himself to where he could make a statement that I can't make, Brother Hoover. I'll just be honest. He said that God would grant him temporary resurrections, to where his spirit would leave and God's spirit would come in and take place of his lips and his tongue, and would speak things that he didn't even know about, to where he'd talk to the patient, he'd say, now whatever he said to you, was it true? He didn't even remember until he went back and listened to it on the tape. It wasn't so much Brother Branham, but it was a gift that God had placed inside of Brother Branham's life, that same Son of Man ministry could transport itself into human flesh again, that a man that was a sinner saved by grace, whether you like to hear it or not, he said it. He was a sinner saved by grace just like any of the rest of us, but he could yield himself so completely to God to where God could come in and speak things that William Branham had no idea about. And they would be right every time. Why? Because it wasn't a man speaking, it was God speaking. That scares people, but it was God speaking. It was the voice of God again through mortal lips speaking again to this generation. I'm just simple enough to believe it. He said, unworthy is right, Lord, but if you were looking for holy hands tonight, where would you find them? We've all sinned and come short of the glory. But oh, how we're encouraged to read in the scripture that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. It wasn't his morals. It was what you'd called him to be and what he'd done with that gift that you give him. Oh, my. I don't worship the man, but I glorify the God that was in the man. There's many today looking for great somethings. They're looking for, out in the nominal world, they're looking for great revivals and great this and great that. We've already had this great something come and they missed it. They missed it. A great restoration. The restoration of the bride tree that was coming together. And it took a prophet. Hey, there were theologians for hundreds of years. They didn't say what this man said. There were preachers for thousands of years. They didn't say what this man said. There were priests and good men, holy men, men of God that were consecrated and great. They weren't restorers, but they were reformers. There were great men of renown that rose up with great gifts that God had given them. But we didn't see what we saw in this man's ministry. Because what did he say? It was one to a generation, one to an age. And we find out that, you know, many's looking for, out in the nominal world, they're looking for this to rise and that to rise. And, we're waiting on this and waiting on that. I'm not waiting anymore. I've already found what I was looking for. I'm not. He said in one place, he said, if anything else rises greater than this, he said, call me a false prophet. He said, I wouldn't say that if he hadn't said it. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. They look for great men to rise in the nominal realms, and they're looking for all kinds of things out there. But we've already had a restoration. We've already had something come. If they can bring me a man that's done anywhere a tenth of what Brother Branham did, then show him to me. They can't do it. There it was, 10 people at least from the dead raised that we know of, that he from his own lips. There was a man with his leg 14 inches shorter that was extended down. There was a woman that was just skin and bones, a skeleton that was restored back to perfect health. All these different things. Squirrels spoke into existence. Storms spoke out of existence. Tumors spoke out of existence. Oh, my. He said in Shalom in 1964, he said, I always thought that it couldn't be greater works. He said, I thought that word just meant more, that it would be more works. But he said, when I got to looking at that, he said, the Lord told him, but he said, in that day, Jesus took and he broke off of fish where it was, and he broke off of bread where it was. But he said, in our day, squirrels were created where there wasn't anything. He said, there's your greater works. Jesus said, greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. He wasn't here to, he was confined to one little area for 3.5 years of ministry. He didn't have jet planes and all these things that we have today. But Brother Branham's, the message went around the world 7 times. And it's still going around the world. Some of it's going back to Ghana with these brothers. It's still going around the world. And it's still the truth. And they can make fun of it. I've heard some of them make fun of the squirrels being spoken to existence. I thought, I would rather stay where I'm at and stay humble and believe what I am than to trade all of Bill Gates' money to be in their shoes. Not for all the money in the world. No, I've come too far to go back now. He says again, and the word became flesh, India trip, 1954. He says, so you see, no matter who the man is, he's nothing but a human being to me. He's going to make mistakes. So let's suffer with one another and do the best we can. That's the only thing we can. All right, Esther was a human being like us. She felt unworthy just like we do. But yet God had raised her up for a purpose. God had raised her up for a plan, and she felt unworthy. How am I going to save my people? I don't even know if I walk into the king's presence, if he'll strike me dead or not. But yet God had raised her up for a purpose and a plan. God knew what he was doing. No matter who the man is, he said, he's nothing but a human being to me. He's going to make mistakes. I'm not trying to point out Brother Layton's mistakes or my mistakes or anybody else's mistakes, but what we're trying to do is not raise this up to a point to where we begin to worship the flesh, whether it's your pastor or whether whoever it is. He said, no man, no matter who he is, see, he's nothing but a human being to me. He's going to make mistakes, so let's suffer with one another and do the best we can. That's the only thing we can, all right? But we don't turn the other way and then just begin to point out everybody's every little mistake and every little thing and pick it apart. Oh, well, how could God ever use Brother so-and-so? I know what he did back here, and I know what he did back there. And how could God ever use Sister so-and-so? I know all these things. I'm sure Esther had some things that they could tell on her, too, that she did when she was a little girl, or stories that they could bring home. Oh, I knew her daddy, and I know what type of family they were, and I knew Mordecai back when, way back when, you know what type of guy he was. And they might have had all kinds of things that they could have said about him, but yet God had raised them up for this time and this place, and he was going to use them. He didn't care what anybody said about him. Esther chapter 4 verse 15, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Remember, God deals with Israel as a people and as a nation. He deals with us as an individual. Fast for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my 8 maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Desperation had begun to set in where she was serious about the word of God. And she knew that, you know, like the men that sat there, the lepers, and they said, look, if we sit here, we're going to die. And if we go back home, we're going to die. So at least if we go out here to the enemy's camp, maybe they'll feel sorry for us and give us something to eat. Why sit we here till we die? She thought, if I wait around for Haman, I'm going to die for sure. And if I don't do anything about it, God's going to raise somebody else up to deliver Israel, and just my family will die because of it. So why sit I here till we die? Well, look at you at the pew tonight. Look around at somebody and say, why do we sit here till we die? Why do we sit around sometimes like bumps on a log and wait for somebody else to do something about it? Well, we'll wait for the pastor, we'll wait for the deacons, or we'll wait for the trustees. That's all right. There's some situations that the deacons and the trustees and the pastor have to handle. And there's certain things that you can do. You can be a witness. You can be a light. You can be a testimony to somebody. You can be an encourager. You don't have to wait on somebody else to do those things. You don't have to wait on the pastor to pray for somebody. You can pray for them. You say, oh, I'm so unworthy, Brother Nathan. How could I ever do that? You don't have to wait for me. If it's 4 a.m, you might get my voicemail, at least for the first few tries, till you get me out of a deep sleep. But you can talk to him even before you reach me. You don't have to wait on me or Brother Layton or anybody else. In the case of an emergency, you go to him first. Amen. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. No, I'm sorry. Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. She didn't do anything to deserve it. She wasn't out there doing all kinds of works and doing jumping jacks to get his attention, saying, look at me, Lord, look at me, look at what a great super Christian I am. She was just standing there waiting patiently, and he looks out the window, and she obtains favor in his sight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Then said the king unto Esther, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Now you can imagine the surprise in this woman's heart when she hears these words, because she's walking into this situation and she's stepping very carefully. Now this is a lesson to us, first of all. She didn't come running in there full speed, screaming to the top of her lungs, now listen here, king, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I need you to do that. She stood by and waited patiently to get his attention. And she gained favor in his eyes. And when she gained favor in his eyes, she didn't know what was going to take place. She's standing there. She walks in softly. Oh, my, what's going to take place? This may be my death sentence. And Lord, I know I've got to go sometime, but not tonight. Many of us want to go to heaven, but most of us don't want to go tonight. Unless it's the body change. We want that. We're ready for the body change. But when it comes to death, you know, we sing when we all get to heaven, but we're not really wanting to go the way of the grave, if we'll be honest with ourselves. And she's waiting there. What is he going to say? What is he going to do? This could be my death sentence. And he looks out through the chamber and he sees her. And he says, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given, even given thee to half the kingdom. Now, she's sitting there waiting, thinking, Lord, is this going to be the night that I die? Well, how are they going to kill me? Are they going to take me out and hang me? Are they going to chop my head off? What are they going to do? And she's sitting like most of us going to prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm so unworthy. Lord, you know I did this and you know I did that. And I'd like to really enter into fellowship with you, but I'm going to wait and pray up real good for about 3 weeks before I ask you for anything because I know I'm so unworthy and I made a mistake last week. And you know about the one last month and the one 5 years ago. And God says, no, I don't really know about those because you already confessed them to me. But those things are still weighing our mind. We think we got to be real self-righteous for about 6 months before we ask him for anything. And we approach God in that line of thinking like Esther. Oh, is he going to slay me? Oh, is he going to turn me away? What's he going to do? And he says, Esther, what's your request? Little bride, what would you like? Half the kingdom? I'll give it to you. He says this, Brother Branham does in a second-handed robe, 1956. He says, now the Bible said, ask abundance. Certainly, you know, we're afraid we're going to ask God too much, but you can't over-ask God anything. Could you imagine a little fish about that long out in the middle of the ocean? You say, Brother Nathan, how do you know how long he meant? Well, because in conferences in 1960, he says half an inch. So I just put those two together. It's about that long is what he's saying. Half an inch in conferences in 1960. A little fish about that long in the middle of the ocean saying, well, I better drink of this water sparingly because it might run out someday. He said, nonsense. Amen. Could you imagine a little mouse about that long down under the great garners of Egypt saying, I better just eat a few grains each day and be very conservative now because I tell you, I might run out before the winter's over, before the new crop comes in. Oh, my. Now that's add 10 billion times to that, and you can find how silly it would be to try to think you could exhaust God's abundance of blessings for you. Why, my, he said, ask abundantly that your joys might be filled. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity tonight and name it and claim it and that we're all going to get Cadillacs tomorrow. Although if some of you do, praise the Lord. I won't envy you. I'll say thank God for you. You know, some people, when God blesses them with something, they want to say, well, why would God bless them with that, not me? Well, maybe you couldn't handle it. Maybe your pride couldn't handle it, but theirs could. I never look at a brother and say, you know, I wish he didn't have that big house. I wish he lived in a little bitty house like me. I wish he didn't have that new car. I wish he had a used car like me. No, the Bible said rejoice with those that rejoice, and mourn for those that mourn. How silly it would be, he said, to try to think you could exhaust God's abundance of blessings for you. Now, can you imagine? I know we read these quotes and hear these quotes sometimes, but let's really think about it tonight. Little bitty fish, half an inch long, little minnow out there swimming around in the Pacific Ocean. Millions of gallons of water. And he thinks, I better not drink too much today. I'm really thirsty, but I better not drink too much today because it may not be there tomorrow. Or a little bitty mouse running around the great garners of Egypt, millions of tons of granaries that they've stored up and stored up and stored up. We've got stored up food today too, you know. And you think, oh, I better not claim too many of these quotes or scriptures because I might run out, or I better not claim too many of these promises of God. I better not ask him for too much today. We don't want to, you know, this is just Wednesday. We've got the rest of the week to go, so I better not ask him for too much today. Jesus said, ask abundantly that your joys might be full. We sing it many times, but I wonder if it gets past our lips down to our heart that every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. You don't have to ask sparingly and say, God, I don't want to ask too big. You know, my mother's sick or my daughter's sick or my little child or my wife or this one's got a need. And we don't want to ask you to take care of the whole thing, Lord. If you could just maybe do a little bit over here or a little bit over there, we'd sure appreciate it. Ask abundantly that your joy might be filled. Show us the Father and it'll suffice us. 1962, he said, here's my interpretation of him about being the water. He is the inexhaustible fountain of life. You'll never ask him too much. You can never believe him for too great a thing. He delights in you believing him for great things. You can never overdo it. Amen. Esther goes in there, oh my, how can I phrase this? What is he going to say when he sees me? What's his response going to be? Is he going to slay me? Is he going to chastise me? Is he going to run me out of the palace? Is he going to tell me, don't you come back for another 6 months? What's he going to say? And he says, you want half the kingdom? It's yours. Here's my scepter. What do you need? Little bride, what do you need tonight? Esther chapter 5 verse 4. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther hath said. Now here, he's making her enemies obey what she said. Oh, that shouldn't be just over in the book of Esther somewhere, but we should be able to apply that tonight. The Brother Branham said, when you have a positive confession, he said, God makes your body obey your confession. Amen. You got sickness in your body tonight, you just begin to speak positive things. Don't say, oh, Lord, I'm sick. I got this little sore on my hand. It might be cancer. Oh, stop with all the negativity. You want half the kingdom? He'll give it to you tonight. Amen. What do you have need of? He didn't say he'd give us all of our wants. He didn't say he'd give us each a 12 million square foot home. But he said, I shall provide your needs. He's a need provider. That didn't stop in the Old Testament. It didn't stop in the New Testament. It didn't stop in 1965. He's a need provider. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Oh, what do you have need of tonight, Esther? What do you have need of tonight, little bride? He says, oh my. He said, even your enemies, you go tell Haman, make haste and go tell Haman to hurry up and get in here and do what Esther said. He'll even make your enemies speak good of you. Sometimes you don't even realize, maybe they don't even realize they're doing it. Remember Daniel, when he went down there, the king said, I'm going to change your name to Belteshazzar. And we looked at it on a name change there. It meant God has blessed. And even when his enemies begin to speak evil of him, they said, oh, that old Belteshazzar, we're going to cast Belteshazzar in the den of lions. We're going to get him. We're going to set a trap for old Belteshazzar. What they were saying is, we're going to get old God has blessed. And God has blessed it. We're going to set a trap for God has blessed. And old God has blessed. We're going to put him in a den of lions. And they was just blessing him left and right. And they didn't even realize it. Even made his enemies to bless him. Cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther hath said. Notice he didn't say, as I have said. He said, make him do what Esther said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now, Brother Bram says this in Demonology in the Physical Realm, 1953. He said, now, friends, I'm not telling this for some kind of a psychologic. I have dealt with demons for years, and you know that. If you only knew the things after the services is over at night, what goes on sometimes, you don't know. Remember, when you come against a spirit, you better know what you're speaking about. Just don't stand there and carry on because it ain't going to do any good. But when actually a demon has to obey you, he'll recognize it. It ain't how loud you holler. It ain't how much oil you put on. It's what's back here that he'll recognize. Oh my, sometimes we pray for people. I was telling the brothers the other night, sometimes you pray for people and you just, you know, you don't know what God's going to do. We're not prophets. And you just say the blessing and pass on. But there's been a few times at the church where I've pronounced healing on somebody because I just knew, Brother Hoover, I could tell God had did something for the person. God did something for him. He said, when actually a demon has to obey you, he'll recognize it. My, when that weakest of Christian goes to his knees, Satan begins to tremble. If Satan begins to tremble, what about these little old demons of cancer and headache and tuberculosis and back problems and financial problems and marital problems and those kind of things? He said, when that demon realizes that he has to obey you, he'll recognize it. Now, what is that? Is that because, you know, one of these brothers got worked up in the flesh and name it and claim it and bless God, this one's got it and that one's got it? Absolutely not. But when there's something down on the inside, that deep calling to a deep, and you speak and the Holy Spirit confirms it, then that's more than a man speaking. That's the Holy Ghost speaking, and every demon in hell can't stop it. He said they have to recognize it. Mark 16, verse 17. I know a lot of the nominal churches don't recognize that this is inspired, but I just so happened to because a prophet of God that was vindicated said that it was inspired. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Didn't say they might, didn't say we hope so, didn't say we'd see about it, didn't say it depended on what the what the certain disease was or the certain situation. Said these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Now I don't believe he was just talking to the disciples. He was talking to the Holy Ghost filled believer. Amen. They shall cast out devils. I hope you can recognize who you are tonight. A lot of times we just put it all on the tape, or we just put it all on the platform. Brother Nathan, if I could get to him and he could pray for me, if Brother Branham was here, he could sure do it. What about you this evening? If you've got the Holy Ghost, you may not have the same gift. You may not have the same vindication, but if you've got that same Holy Ghost down on the inside of you, when there's a need, when there's a time of emergency, God can speak through you. God can work through you. God can heal the sick through your prayers. Maybe he's waiting on you tonight to see what you'll do about it. Now Esther, she's trying to find God's time and God's will and place for this to take place. She doesn't just jump right in all at once and say, well, I need this, this, and this. But they come to the banquet in verse 6, and the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Now he said this to her in private, but now he's vindicating her publicly, and he's saying it in front of Haman. Haman's right there. He doesn't even realize that Esther's one of the ones he's trying to kill, but she knows it. She knows the enemy's out to get her. She knows that she's part of the bride. She knows that she's part of God's chosen people, and that this man's going out trying to destroy everything. And the king has said to her privately, he said, now whatever you want, even to half the kingdom, you can have it. But now he begins to proclaim it even in front of her enemy. What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Now she has another request. And he said, whatever you want, even to half the kingdom, I'll give it to you. And so here goes Haman and the king out. And Haman's so boastful, we'll look at it next week with the help of the Lord. He goes out of there, oh my. I've been invited to the king's palace, and Esther called upon me, and only myself and Esther and the king was invited to this banquet. And oh my, he's so proud, he goes home and begins to tell everybody about it. But pride goes before the fall. He begins to get so excited and so worked up. But we find, I just can't wait to get into these next few chapters, Brother Hoover. There's some wonderful things that with the help of the Lord we'll be able to bring out. I just love when the Lord begins to show you little nuggets here and there, and you think, oh, my, I never caught that one before. But she's been placed into this situation. Many times people have got, and I blame some of it on the ministry, that they've preached things into a place to where it's all so much hellfire and brimstone that the people live down here so beat down and so discouraged and so scared to do anything that, you know, that they think they've got oh, Lord, how could I ever do anything for you? And I'm so unworthy, and I'm so this, and I'm so that. Absolutely, we're all unworthy. There's not one of us here from the front to the back that's worthy, but he's worthy. Amen. And he's not looking at me. He's not looking at my mistakes. He's not looking at my flaws. He's not looking at what I did 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 days ago, whatever it would be, whatever it is in your life. He's not looking at that. If it's under the blood, he's looking at the blood. And many times we live so defeated and so under our privileges that maybe you don't even realize consciously that you're doing it, but you're acting like that little mouse in the garners of Egypt or that little fish out in the ocean. You're thinking, oh, Lord, I'm so unworthy. I'll just take a little sip today. Or, Lord, I'm so unworthy. I'll just eat a little kernel today. But Brother Bam said, why should we take a substitute when the Pentecostal skies is full of the real thing? Amen. Oh, there's joy for us to have. There's peace for us to have. There's comfort for us to have. There's joy. All these things. God wants us to have those things. He said, how I would that you prosper in health even as your soul prospers. He doesn't want us to go around moping around. I'm a message believer and I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't go here and I can't go there. And you know, I feel convicted about this and I feel convicted about that. And poor pitiful me. That's how a lot of people live, defeated all the time. But there's a better life than that to be had. God wants you to live a little higher than that. He may not ever make us to where we never have to go and check our bank account to make sure there's still money there. Some of us may never reach that point to where we never have to worry about money, or we never have to worry about this or worry about that, or check on this bill or check on that bill. But we don't have to live in fear of our finances. If He can take care of the ravens, and He can take care of the sparrows, and He can take care of the lilies, He can take care of us. Amen. We don't have to live in fear of these things. We don't have to live in fear of, oh, what if I stumble and fall? What if I lose my Holy Ghost or lose my salvation? You better go back and listen to the message again. You can't lose your Holy Ghost or lose your salvation. You might lose the joy of it. You might get yourself in trouble if you don't adhere to the Word of God and stay in His perfect will. But if you ever got it, God didn't save you to lose you. And you don't go out here and make a mistake and then come up here and me and Brother Layton aren't your priests that you have to come up here and confess, oh, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and go through the motions and all that. I'm not your intercessor. But we have an intercessor. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. And He's willing and able to accept you. Oh, you might have made mistakes, you might have fallen, you might have did all kinds of things, but He's ready to accept you with open arms. All you got to do is just make it right with Him. Oh, my. Thank God for an atonement.
Amen.
God's law, Brother Bram said, if we just had His law, if we just had His justice, he said, we'd all be condemned. He said, I don't want His justice. I want His mercy.
Amen.
I want His grace. Here, Esther, she was living in so much fear. What will the king say? What will the king do? And then once she gets in the king's presence, he says, Esther, half the kingdom, if you want it, it's yours. Brother Bram says it this way in spoken word, is the original seed, 1962. This is when he's reading down what he wrote there when the Holy Spirit told him, pick up your pen and write. He said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. He says, so will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Then I got a great big hallelujah, he says. Here's the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord. Then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it grows and serves its purpose. Now, there's many people that have the Word. There's many of them that have it on their books, shelves. They have the message books. They have the message tapes. They have the infallible Word. They have the Bible. They have all these things that they have sitting right there. They have the Word, but the difference between many people and the bride is the bride knows the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with the Word. And she knows when to be silent, and she knows when to speak, and she knows when to proclaim, to say, oh, Lord, I need this, Lord. I'm in desperation. I need healing. I need this. I need salvation for my family. I need the token to be applied. I need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. I need whatever these things are. He's standing there waiting. Esther, what would you have this evening? Unto half the kingdom, it's yours. And she has, thus saith the Lord, not to go out and name it and claim it and say, I need a Lamborghini, Lord, and I want this and I want that. But that in a time of need, in a time of desperation, that she not only has the word, but she knows how to handle the word. She knows what God is requiring of her, and she knows the mind of Christ to know when to go and deal with the situation and when to wait and let it go, and when to go and try to encourage somebody, and when to be a witness and when to be silent. Remember, there were many times Jesus opened His mouth and He said, you go tell that fox that not only do I cast out devils, but all that I'm going to do. And he began to really line Him down the road. And then there was other times He just sat silent and didn't say a word. God, give us wisdom of the Holy Spirit to know what God wants done with His word and how to use it and how not to. He said, they do only His will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is Himself in them. continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. But he's still got a work to do tonight. And he didn't place it all on me or all on some of these other brothers. He didn't place it all on Brother Layton or Brother Hoover or Brother Morris to do it all. But he's waiting on you. What will you do as a member of the Bride of Christ? If you have the Holy Ghost, then he expects you to yield to the Holy Ghost, to know how to handle his word. And when situations arise, and sometimes in our flesh we just want to rise up and straighten somebody out and tell them, bless God, the word says this and the word says that. We have the word. But may the Holy Spirit season us a little bit to know how to handle the word. That there's a time and a place to speak, and there's a time and a place to be silent. There's a time and a place to rise up and say, look, don't you know the word says this and this and this? And there's another time just to step into your prayer closet and pray for somebody. Oh, may God give us wisdom to know what he wants done with his word. May he give us wisdom to know, to yield to him whatever he'd have us to do for whatever situation it would be. May we be like Esther, that just to step softly, Lord, what would you have me do? Are you speaking for me to speak? Are you speaking for me to be silent? Are you leading me to go here, to go there, to be a witness, to do this, to do that? What would you have me to do, Lord? May that be our attitude tonight is my prayer. Amen. If the musicians would come. Esther didn't feel worthy, but God was going to use her anyhow. Moses didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel capable. He tried to make every excuse he could think of, but God was going to use him anyhow. Amen. Many times we'll let the devil beat us down. Oh, I'm not talented enough, or oh, I'm not smart enough, or oh, I'm not this, or I'm not that. Many of these other men weren't either. As I said, Noah didn't have the intellectual ability to be a boat maker, but when God called him to do it, he gave him everything that he needed to do it with. Amen. Brother Bram said, when God gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you everything you needed for the journey. Amen. Yes. Amen. You may be facing things tonight, but I believe God's speaking to his bride, letting her know, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you have a need, he's here to meet it. Oh my, he's a present help in time of trouble. Let's sing this together tonight. Oh, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Lord, it saves a wretch like me. For I once was so lost, oh, but now I'm found. Lord, I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and his grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did his grace appear the testimony through many, many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. But his grace has brought me saved thus far. His grace, it will lead me home. Oh, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've known
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, has he done something in your life? Has he done something for you to praise him about? Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, if you've got a handkerchief or a songbook, let's just give him a wave offering tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, maybe you can think back to a testimony of something God did in your life that was supernatural. Just praise him about it. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, he's worthy of our praise tonight. He loves the praises of his people. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Oh, praise God. Oh, you're worthy tonight, Father. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let's just continue to praise him. Praise God. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Praise God. Lord, for all you've done, praise you, God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, has he healed you when he was sick? Did he save you when he was lost? Did he raise up your little children, fill them with the Holy Ghost, bring them into his fold? Oh, praise God. Oh, we've got something to praise him about tonight. He led you to the message, spared you from all the blindness of Laodicea. Oh, we praise you tonight for it, Father. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let's just bow our heads. Praise him tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're not just a God of yesterday, but you're the God that's the same today as you've always been. You're the God that's going to be the same tomorrow as you've always been, Father. You're a present tense God that's here for your, the needs of your people. Oh, help us, Father, tonight. Maybe there's many needs represented. Lord, as I hold these prayer requests in my hands, Lord, that came in, Lord, may you be with each need. Lord, may you go to Sister Patty tonight. Just give her a touch from you. Lord, as the Holy Spirit lays her on my heart, Father, may you just go to her tonight. Lord, we agree together as a group of people for her, Father. Lord, may you just lift her up and heal her, Father. We know that you're able. Lord, we don't want to drink sparingly of your blessings, but we want to claim the whole granary full, Father. Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister to her tonight, Father. Lord, may just now as we're speaking, may she just begin to feel a change in her body, Father. We know that you're able, Lord. We give you glory and praise for it, Lord, because we ask. And you said that if we ask and agree, if there'd be any two that would agree on anything, touching any situation, that you'd hear and you'd answer. Father, may you just move on the scene for our sister. Lord, we pray for her tonight. Lord, we know that you're able. We know that you're a God that heals the sick and raises the dead, saves the lost, fills the empty. Father, you're still the same today. Oh, help us not to try to live below our privileges, Father, but help us, Lord, to drink not sparingly, but Lord, help us to ask abundantly that our joys may be full. Lord, be with each one. Other needs that's represented here tonight, Father. Maybe some of them financial. Maybe some of them spiritual. Maybe they've been fighting battles. Maybe Satan's been tempting them and trying to get them to fall to the left or fall to the right into sins that would be besetting to their walk with you, Father. But give them the strength. Give them the courage. Give them the backbone tonight, Father, to stand up for what's right. Oh, Father, grant deliverance to your people. Lord, if there's any spirits of depression or oppression or worry or nervous, Father, Lord, may you just deliver your people tonight. Oh, you're a God that delivers. Lord, we believe it's still the same tonight. Lord, may you grant it to your people, we pray.
Move on the scene for your people, we pray tonight, Father. We'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. We'll give you honor because you're the only one that's worthy of it, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father. We accept these things by faith because we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Your prophet said when we ask it in your name, that's the same as you speaking. Oh, there is none like you. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Let's sing it together. Oh, there is none like you. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. Let's stand and sing together. Oh, there is none like you, and no one else. Oh, I can search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. One more time together. Oh, there is none like you. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none. Oh, we worship you tonight, Father. There's nobody like you. Oh, there is none like you, Father. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find. Oh, His presence is here tonight. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Oh, there's none like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. There's none like you, Lord. No one else. Oh, I can search eternity long and find there is none. Oh, we worship you, Lord, for there is none like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I can search for all eternity long and find. Oh, just praise Him tonight. Oh, there is none. Oh, we worship you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, I can search eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none. Oh, how we praise you, Father. Yes, Jesus. Oh, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise. Tomorrow brings.
I wish somebody'd help me praise him tonight. Let's just worship him together. I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh yes, now I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I don't care what the world says or what my neighbor says or what my enemy says. I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh yes, I'm still gonna praise my Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. Oh, what if they make it like Daniel where you can't praise him no more? Oh, well, still I will praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I'm gonna praise and worship my Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. Oh, whatever politics brings, whatever the economy brings, whatever Satan tries to throw in our face, I'm still gonna praise. Oh, even when the doctor says I'm sick, I'm still gonna praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings. Oh, what if the doctor says there's no hope? What if the lawyer, the banker says there's none? I'm still gonna praise my Lord. Oh yes, I'm still gonna praise my Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings. Oh yes, Father. Oh yes, I'm gonna praise my Lord. Yes, Father. Oh Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings. I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh yes, I'm gonna praise my Lord. I'm gonna praise my Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm gonna praise my Lord.
Say that you know.
Love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I believe we're going to hear testimonies back of what the Lord's doing. Amen. Amen. By His grace. Amen. It's been good to be in church. Amen. Lord, lay this on my heart. Oh, he was in the service earlier. Let's just sing it together tonight.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night, it drove out the light, my heart sank with fear. Oh, all I could see was no hope inside. Deep down in my heart, it rang out with pride. With faith all but gone, still I met the one who came looking for me. Brother Bram said you never looked for him. Oh, but he came looking for me. Oh, thank you, looking for me. I know he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Oh, when I could. my soul and calm all my fears. Oh, since I met the one who came looking for me. Maybe this was your testimony. Well, old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Friends, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. But my Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm saved from all harm. Since he walked through my storm, he came looking for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, looking for me. Oh, yes, he did. He came looking for me. Oh, friends, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Well, I drifted far, but my Jesus was near. He rescued my soul. Friends, he calmed all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met that one who came looking for me. Help me sing this again tonight. Well, old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plans moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. But my Jesus stepped in, said, Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since he walked through my storm, he came looking for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, looking for me. He came looking for me.
Out my grave. His plan was to pull and to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared. He said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. For he walked through the storm when he was looking for. Came looking for me. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, my Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me. Let's sing it as we go. God bless you. Oh, he came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near. Rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could. I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near. Rescue my soul and